TV.
Just before the broadcast, our friend here, the pirate, who's been visiting me for 3 days, he called. He came up with a new term for the tribulation, and I like it. He called it urban renewal. On a vast scale. I like that.
All the cities in the world are going to fall flat.
Yeah, all the nations fall. I know. I've compared that to the verse of God in Revelation saying, and he made the stars also. So like, oh, yeah, and then after, then he made the stars, and then he took lunch, and then, you know, it's just so understated. And then when you get the verse in Revelation, I can't remember which one it is, but it says, and the cities of the nations fall. That's such an epic statement, because every building is going to be flattened. That's urban renewal on a vast scale. And it really only takes God just poking the earth. It doesn't take, oh, God, how can God do that? The earth is so big. Yeah, ask Jonah. He's trying to run away from God on a ship.
Look at what happened on 9/11. It didn't take much then.
Oh, yeah. Well, we better not bring that topic up. Well, yeah, this guy's a big... He's in a lot of top secret things, but we're going to look, Mark's going to look, I don't know anything about what's going to happen right now. Mark's going to look at some sinister workings, I'm assuming,
yes,
in the government systems, and he's going to tie it in to the time of our departure. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, this platform is very delicate, it's very sensitive as to certain words, phrases, and government bodies, so we have to be very careful. We will be occasionally speaking in code.
Yes.
You're very clever out there, so we know that you understand it, but we may put the words on the screen here. But you already know my usual codes, VC for this, and CV19er for the scam. So having said all that, we shall launch. Mark, it's your show.
Yes, well, Martin, both of us and many, I'm sure most in our viewing audience, are very keen on being snatched away.
Very keen.
And you know, with desire building more and more, and I think that's as it should be. And so if we want to put a title to this, it would be The Impending Snatching Away. And the subtitle would be An SR-71 View of the Apocalyptic Landscape, and I'm wearing appropriately...
That's an epic title. I've never come up with a title like that.
An SR-71 T-shirt that I got at the Museum of Flight in Seattle this last summer. And it was a surveillance reconnaissance plane that could travel at about Mach 3.5, so it could go to L.A. to New York in about... an hour, so we're zooming today.
It took me 46 days on a bicycle.
Well, you didn't know about the SR-71.
I did not know about it.
Now, I'm going to start with a line that I developed for the conference in South Carolina, but there are new viewers, and not all of them were there. And so some of this I'm reading, but we're living... in a freak show, Blade Runner, Twilight Zone, 12 Monkeys, 1984, Brave New World, Doctor Strangelove, Mad Max, Terminator, Dystopia.
Ooh, no wonder I'm tired.
In case you haven't noticed. Or another way to say it is, if you haven't noticed, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yes.
Now, I'm not sure where you stand exactly on this, Martin. I think... you've mentioned in one of your Revelation shows or another show about being open to the possibility that the snatching away is at mid-tribulation at the latest?
Yes, mid-tribulation at the latest. We will not be here in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation.
Right. Well, I'd like to make a case for... what's called the pre-tribulation snatching.
Please
away.
Make that case. Please, please make that case. You can stay here for another month if you make that case.
Now, in I take notes, and in your Revelation series number 271, which is titled Days, Months, and Season, you talk about Revelation, or what in the Concordant is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. There are three basic time periods mentioned: 1260 days, 42 months, and time, times, and half a time, which is basically 3.5 years. And so it mentions...
Yeah, each one is 3.5 years.
Yeah.
1260 days is one way of saying 3.5 years. 42 months is another way of saying 3.5 years. And time, times, and half a times is another way of saying 3.5 years. And they're all said a certain way for a reason, but we won't get into that.
Yeah. So in 11:3, the two witnesses witness or prophesy for 1260 days. And in 12:6, the woman is in the wilderness for 1260 days. And in... Chapter 13, the wild beast has authority for 42 months. And in 11:2, the court is trampled for 42 months. And in 12:14, the persecuted woman is nurtured for a season, seasons and half a season. And you had mentioned in your program, don't mess with these periods of time. These are... literal.
Yeah, don't explain God's explanations.
So God says what he means.
Yes.
And I agree. Now, I think that the snatching away happens before the nasty stuff. I mean, the really nasty stuff in Revelation. My reasoning is along these lines. Number one, the body of Christ currently acts as the detainer who detains the emergence of the man of lawlessness, which corresponds to the white horse rider. And so you read about the detainer in 2 Thessalonians 2, the white horse rider, which I believe you are in agreement with me that we're talking about the wild beast or the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Right. So we detain... And once he's released, then the other horsemen are free to ride. And one of them has a quarter of humanity slain. I think it's the red horse.
I'm going to remind our listeners that there are four horses, the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse. They're not literal horses, but John sees horses. He actually sees them, but each one represents a different calamity. Well, the first one represents the white horse rider, i.e. the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. So go ahead and tell us.
So if we're detaining it, then we can't be here when, the white horse is riding. And, I mean, it is... basically,
I like that.
Is hell on earth. And so my second part of my reasoning, so we detain until, the detainer is removed out of the midst, which I understand as the snatching away. And number two is that Paul promised that we would not see the indignation. Members of the body of Christ experience trials. Martin is experiencing trials. I am. I'm sure most or all of you are as well. But the overall expectation is to be saved from the wrath to come. It mentions this in 1 Thessalonians 1:10 and 5:9. Paul uses the Greek word orge to refer to indignation in this life or the final judgment, which John of Patmos calls the judgment at the great white throne. So in 1 Thessalonians 1:10 in the Concordant literal, it says, "And to be waiting for his Son out of the heavens, whom he rouses from among the dead, Jesus our rescuer out of the coming indignation." So we're waiting, and I would translate, eagerly waiting for his Son out of the heavens, to rescue us out of this coming indignation. Not that we are in the midst of it, but we're kept out of it. And Paul is he's discussing the snatching away in this verse, so he views the snatching away as preceding the coming indignation. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:8-9 in the Concordant literal, yet we being of the day may be sober, putting on the cuirass of cuirass. Yeah, that's one of those.
Concordant words. Yeah, that covers. It's not a breastplate. King James says breastplate, but it covers the front and the back.
It's a cuirass of faith and love, and the helmet, the expectation of salvation. For God did not appoint us to indignation, but to the procuring of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the helmet of the expectation of salvation, which we talked about in the last program, being the expectation of being extricated out of this evil eon. Well, I'm adding that one now, Galatians 1:4. I'm all for that.
I think, yeah, me too. I think Scott Hickel just did a show on the helmet of expectation.
Really?
Yeah.
And what was his conclusion?
You would put me on the spot.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it's the same as yours, exactly the same as yours.
Yeah, no, I think having...
You guys have this mind of Christ. You guys are thinking about the same things here.
I think that the helmet of the expectation of salvation is that... expectation of being either resurrected at the time of the snatching away, or I vote for this, being caught away while living.
We all vote for that.
Yeah, you know. And then number three, now this is some reasoning based on Revelation or the unveiling. The holy city is trampled for 42 months, and then the two witnesses prophesy for 1,260 days. So it says in these two verses, the unveiling 11, 2, and 3, and the court outside the temple cast outside, and you should not be measuring it, for it was given to the nations. In the holy city will they be treading 42 months. And I will be endowing my two witnesses, and they will be prophesying 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. I think that they have witnessed these things that are symbolically portrayed there in the 42 months. And now there's another period. But we aren't here. The body of Christ is not here to go through this. And I hear some people actually rather bummed. I know someone, not in this country. I'll just leave it very, very...
then it must be in another country.
It's in another country.
I put that together. You're giving it away.
And it's not in Ireland. So it's a country other than the United States or Ireland. And they are geared for what they would regard as the snatching away at the end of the tribulation.
Oh, so ouch! My microphone just fell and pinched my. So I had a little tribulation here myself. I'm suffering evil for the evangel. So wait a minute. What are you telling me is this individual who was neither in the United States nor in Ireland is like preparing to go through the tribulation?
Yeah, no, they said you have to be prepared to die as a martyr. And I think Paul had that mindset, but he eventually did die as a martyr, but the pages of his epistles bristle with the hope of the expectation. Yeah. He thought perhaps that he would live to be caught away or snatched away.
Yeah. What are you going to do to survive the tribulation? Stock up on toilet paper? Put boards on your windows? I mean, it's such a joke. Like people preparing for Y2K. But this is, you know, Y2K never happened, of course, but this is, you don't prepare for the tribulation. You don't stock up water.
Some do.
Super. Well, I know these people have no clue what's coming. It's like fighting the sun with a little electric fan or something, you know?
Yeah, they get loads of extra dental floss and a 357 Magnum. And
what's the dental floss for?
Well, I mean, you got to keep your teeth in shape.
Well, you see why they would need toilet paper, because they're going to be shitting themselves every day of the tribulation if they go through it.
Yeah, well.
Did I throw you off?
Yeah. I believe that we're living in the years that immediately precede the snatching away of the body of Christ. And, you know, there's the saying, one swallow does not make a summer, which means that one piece of evidence does not mean that something is positively the case or will happen. But in my lifetime, what's happened, especially since you know what, has rolled out CV19er. The world is a vastly different place.
For sure.
And we have various nations that find themselves in straits, we'll just say. I mean, Australia and Canada to me are...
unbelievable what's happening there.
It's unbelievable. And I think they are beta tests, essentially, to see what can happen, what they want to do. But if you have a migration of a flock of swallows on a summer day, summer's here, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, taken in isolation, some of these things that are happening, people can say, oh, yeah, this kind of stuff has always been happening. But I think taken as a whole, no, they haven't. This is new. It's unprecedented.
Yeah, on top of which, maybe you're going to bring this up later, but the 6,000-year plan, 6,000 years from Adam, that's significant also. Maybe you're going to mention that, I don't know, but that's just one of the swallows.
Yes, it is. Now, both you and I have encountered people who talk about, you know, the snatching away years down the road. I talked with one pastor who said, well, we don't know whether the Lord will return in, it could be 7,000 years from now. I'm thinking, is this guy overdosing on some psychedelic drug or what? I know of a megachurch pastor in the Seattle area who said, well, 500 years from now, and he was confidently asserting, you know, how the church was going to keep moving forward. And I'm thinking...
Church gonna move forward.
This is crazy.
What the heck? I mean, I hear these people that say, well, nobody can know when the snatching away is going to occur, but it's going to be 500 years from now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, great. You have a guess. My guess is 2.5 minutes from now.
Yeah.
And as far as anything to go on, I mean, I have more to go on for 2.5 minutes than he has for 500 years. They pull it out of a dark place, these figures.
Yes. And another, I'm just giving you examples and that I have heard. So I'm not making this up out of whole cloth. Another pastor said, oh, it could be hundreds of years from now. And a ministry leader I know of, he said, well, maybe in 100 years. And who are these popes and God and God's Almighty?
Yeah, who are they?
That seem to have the inside track. And I think they have... I think they have a vested interest in keeping the status quo going. They may be having a great life. I don't wish them ill, but you know.
I do.
You know, I mean, if they have
I do.
Yeah, I mean, if they have a you know, great family and great wife or kids,
course.
And I mean.
But this is it. You hit it. We know another person. We won't mention a name. Friend of ours. Who thinks that it's 500 years down the road because of this crazy guy, Otis Sellers. I'm sorry I even mentioned his name. I might edit it up. But yeah, I think these people are having a good life and they want the status quo to continue. They don't want to get out of their comfort zone. I know some people who are afraid of the snatching away because of the unknown. They're afraid of the celestial realm because it's unknown. They don't trust God.
Yeah.
They trust the status quo more than God, and so they throw out these crazy numbers with no foundation.
Well, and what we have to keep in mind is that this isn't just an upgrade from coach to first class. I mean, going from mortality and for me with an eye patch and all that to the snatching away, the contrast is... You can't put a number on it. A million times?
Well, it's like Jesus going from crucifixion to being raised higher at the right hand of God than he ever has been. Could it be a bigger contrast than that?
Yeah, I mean, and so I think we need to stress also that this is it's something to be greatly desired.
Yes.
That's why Paul talks about awaiting, but waiting with eager anticipation.
Yeah, where does he say the love is appearing?
Yeah.
Did he say that to Timothy?
2 Timothy 4:8.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Good one.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 4:8.
A wreath of righteousness to those who
love his appearing.
For me, and not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing.
There you go. I posit to you that these people who are extrapolating, just pulling this crap out of nowhere, say 500 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, they don't love his appearing. If you love his appearing, nobody knows the exact time.
Right, right.
So if you love his appearing, I would think that you would like push for a shorter time. Even let's say you have nothing to go on.
Yeah.
I feel we do. I know we do.
Yeah.
But if you have nothing to go on, those people have nothing to go on. Let's say we don't. The person who says 2.5 minutes from now loves his appearing.
Yes.
The person who says 500 years from now loves something else, and it's not his appearing. It's the current wicked eon. They're a bunch of Demases who love the current wicked eon and forsook Paul.
And this is the wicked eon in which Christ, the fully obedient, sinless Son of God, was murdered.
Yeah.
So go figure.
Yeah, for that reason alone, I hate this eon. I hate it. I hate it. I said that many times, and you just hit on it. This earth still contains the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what this world, this cosmos, this system thinks of Christ. They killed him. I'm living, frighteningly, in that same cosmos to kill Christ. Nothing's changed. It's the same kind of people.
Well,
it's the same earth.
And has gotten progressively worse.
Yeah,
with
not to mention that. Yeah.
20th century with World Wars I and II.
Did you know that World War I was the first world war? I mean, I'm not making a joke. I mean, but it was the first all-nation war.
Yeah.
Of like hot war.
Yeah.
Not just one guy declaring, I'm taking over.
Without going down the rabbit trail, some historians believe, and I think with good reason, that both of them started on the basis of false flags.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's... I think it's Operation Himmler.
The Archduke of Ferdinand, when he was assassinated, the tinderbox started World War I. You think that was a false flag?
Some say that, but I mean...
Like they wanted to start the war. Like they wanted to.
Well, the Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag that started the Vietnam War.
Yeah, but there's old Schicklgruber in Germany with his little mustache taking over the world. I mean, that was the guy that was... Can't call that a false flag, I don't think, can you?
Well, no, but I mean how he got it kicked off.
How he got what?
How he got the World War kicked off was through Operation Himmler. But that's a topic for another
time.
Operation
Himmler.
But
stay tuned next week for Operation Himmler Part 1.
Now, what's interesting, and I think vital to understand, is that Jesus condemns apathy about the prophecies in Scripture.
Yes.
Remember in Matthew 24:48, he said, but if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed. And so he was condemning that lackadaisical, sometime my master will come. And also in Matthew 16:1-4, how he upbraided the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he told them, verse 3, and in the morning it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. And so I think it behooves us to have at least a basic understanding of the times in which we live.
It does. And what does that tell you? That tells you that the times can be known.
Yeah.
They can be known.
They can be known.
It's not like we're all guessing at things. It's like, no, Jesus said... You're supposed to look, told that to Israel, I know, but still, you're supposed to look, and if you read correctly, you'll know the time. And he talks about the wicked slave who, thinks his master is gone for a long time. the opposite of that would be the worthy slave, the good slave, who was prepared for the return of his master. How could he be prepared for the return of his master unless he had information, inside information, of when the master was returning?
Mm-hmm. And then there's the overall blessing of knowing the times. We read of this, for example, in 1 Chronicles 12:32. Of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And in Revelation 1:3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And then Paul, the apostle of the nations, our apostle, in 1 Thessalonians 5:1 through 4, says, now concerning the times and the season, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. So he's expecting them to be alert. And the interesting thing, Martin, I've seen, you can look this up on YouTube, there are many, many clips of world leaders talking about this very phrase, yeah. Peace and security, yeah. Peace yeah. and security. I've heard that phrase many, many times of presidents and world leaders, how they expect we're going to have peace and security.
Wasn't that the United Nations logo last year, peace and security?
I believe you're right.
I mean, like word for word.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're as I said. I mean, we're not in Kansas anymore.
No. I love it when you use Wizard of Oz analogies. That gets to me, man.
Yeah, there's something about that movie that is just I don't know if I'm repeating myself, but. Knowing what I knew before I came into these truths of the salvation of all and what the death of Christ is and other related truths that you provided and I've dug out on my own. And it was like being Dorothy in Kansas in black and white world. And then all of a sudden, baby, we're in Technicolor Oz.
Yeah.
And... just a little quip or a little anecdote. I grew up on black and white television, and I saw The Wizard of Oz a number of times. I thought it was a black and white film. And then I went to a film festival at Sacramento State University, and they were showing The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And... you know, when Dorothy opens the door and everything is in vivid color, I'm thinking, this is amazing.
Yeah, right? Yeah, especially
Changes everything.
I got a little tidbit, too. Is that, you know, when they shot that scene of Dorothy coming through, you know, after the tornado lands her house in Oz and she comes through the door, and you can see both scenes. She's in black and white. And the house she's coming from is in black and white, and she goes out into the Technicolor. Instead of trying to go through the hassle of working out how to do that scene with the transference of black and white to color, they actually painted the house black and white. And they gave Judy Garland a black and white dress. Mm. And so it was actually shot real time as she's going from that set, but they painted the whole set black and white. And she was turned to the... her back to the camera so they couldn't see, you know, the flesh tones of her face or whatever.
Well, we should actually bring out Judy from the other room.
I still
here.
Got Judy, young, innocent Judy Garland, before they ruined her.
Judy is still here.
Before MGM ruined her. Yeah, you can bear witness. Judy Garland's hanging up in my bedroom there.
Anyway, so I've listed also in sequence a number of things that are happening that give us indicators of the times in which we live.
You know what? We're at 33 minutes. That is one hell of a teaser, though. Say that again.
I'm going to start listing one by one with scripture and proof indicators that we're not in Kansas anymore, and to be anticipating with longing and eagerness the snatching away.
I'm liking what I'm hearing. And the folks, ladies and gentlemen here, are going to be so upset that I'm going to end the show now. This is me. Don't blame Mark. It's me. We're going to save this for tomorrow. Mark's been working on this for days. He's got a long list here.
Not too long.
It's not too long.
No.
Let me see. Flip through the pages. Too long? Oh, it's juicily long. It's juicily long.
You're
we might have to do another part.
You're never going to look at the times in which we live in the same way. I guarantee.
All right. That's beautiful. But you had me at Kansas, my friend. I'm looking forward to that. And I know you are too. So the Pirate and I will be back tomorrow.